few years ago, I had a parishioner come into my office with a pretty serious problem. And I remember sitting with her in my office and thinking, as she told her story, that I had absolutely no idea what to say to her. My heart absolutely broke for the situation she had found herself in, but I had no advice to offer, no words of wisdom to share. I had nothing. And as I listened to her pour her heart out to me, I silently prayed. I asked God to give me words that would somehow help her. I prayed that the Spirit would fill me and fill the room so that she could know that God was with her in her struggles. Now, her and I talked for quite some time that day, and if I'm totally and completely honest with you, I have no idea what I said to her. None. I have no recollection of the words that came out of my mouth at all. And even as soon as she left, I was thinking that I must have just been blabbering on and on, just total nonsense, because I couldn't remember a single thing I had said. I felt like an idiot. And even worse, I felt like a failure as her pastor. And thinking about that day haunted me for quite a while, until she and I had another conversation some months later. She once again stopped by my office, but this time she came in with a big smile and a gift for me. And when I saw her with that present, my heart sunk. I'm sure I blushed and my head hung my head, and I was thinking, I don't deserve her kindness. I certainly don't deserve a gift, since I had most definitely failed her in her moment of need. But then she told me that my words that day had totally changed things for her. She had seen a new side of her situation, and she had left that day filled with hope, the first hope she had known in quite a while. I was flabbergasted. I didn't know what to say. How could she and I have had such totally different reactions to the exact same conversation? She quoted things back to me that she says I said to her that day, and I have no memory of it. Nor, if I'm honest, does it really sound like something that I would say. And then it dawned on me. It wasn't really me talking to her that day. I believe with all my heart that the Holy Spirit spoke to her through me, not in some horror movie possession kind of way, but in a truly holy way. I think God gave me words that she needed to hear. And I firmly believe that God answered my prayers that day. And you know, as I read this story in Acts, I think that's maybe a little bit of what happened then too. Because I'm not sure Peter, all on his own, would have been the guy to step outside and preach a sermon that would have brought 3,000 people to be baptized that day. Let's think about this for a minute. This story takes place on what we call Pentecost. Now, the word Pentecost means 50 days. And it corresponds with the Jewish holiday of Shavuot, which is a commemoration of Moses being given the Ten Commandments up on Mount Sinai. And Shavuot happens 50 days after Passover in the Jewish community. Well, what do we remember as a Passover meal? Jesus and his disciples together for the Last Supper. That happened at Passover, and here we are 50 days later at Pentecost. 7 weeks. 7 weeks since the night Peter told Jesus, "I will never leave you, I will never betray you, even if I have to die." 7 weeks since the night Peter did deny knowing Jesus 3 times and ran away in guilt and in shame. 7 weeks since Mary Magdalene had come to the disciples and told them that the tomb was empty. Just 6 weeks From the night that Jesus appeared to the disciples and Thomas touched the wounds in Jesus' hands and side. And less than that, since Jesus found the disciples fishing and made them a meal on the beach and asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" Very little time for all that these men had experienced, all that they had seen, all that they had felt. 7 weeks is no time at all. 7 weeks ago, we were just wrapping up the first week of the school year. That's just 7 weeks ago. 7 weeks. I can't imagine the turmoil that these guys had gone through in just those 50 days. But let's think about Peter for just a minute here. 7 weeks ago, he ran and hid when Jesus was arrested. Peter was probably at that point at the lowest part of his life. His friend, his teacher, his Messiah was publicly beaten and executed while Peter hid. But then Sunday morning came and Mary said that she had seen Jesus at the tomb and he was alive and well, and he had sent her to tell the disciples and especially Peter that he was alive. Especially Peter. Peter, who would not have felt worthy to go to Jesus after the resurrection. Peter would have carried too much guilt and shame to show his face, except that Jesus asked for him by name. And then on the lake shore, three times Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" And one by one, Peter had a chance to make up for the times that he had denied knowing Jesus. One by one, Jesus wiped those sins away and reminded Peter of what he was to do. Tend the flock. Feed the sheep. But now Jesus had left them again. And with his final words, he had promised to the disciples that they would not be alone as they continued the work he had begun. He told them that God would send the Holy Spirit to guide them and to be with them as they were to go and make disciples of all nations, preaching and teaching all that Jesus had taught. And so now these guys are in a period of waiting. Waiting for some sign that the Spirit was truly with them. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to say. And I'm sure they felt inadequate to the job that Jesus had just laid at their feet. I get that feeling. That's the feeling I had sitting in my office that day when I didn't know what to do or what to say. I felt very inadequate to the job that God had called me to that day. And I know that many of you, if not all of you, know that feeling too, at least sometimes. Many of you have told me at various points in time that when it comes to talking about your faith, when it comes to helping lead others to know Christ, when it comes to teaching what you know about faith, that you feel inadequate, that you don't know what to say or what to do. I get it. It's awkward. You may not know what to say, how to begin the conversation. In a world that is becoming more and more and more secular, it feels almost foreign to talk about our faith. But friends, we don't dare pass up the opportunity. As Mordecai told Esther in our Old Testament reading, perhaps you are here for such a time as this. Why has God created you to be here now? What words of hope can you offer to someone who may not even realize that they are in need of hope? Don't know what to do? Don't know what to say or how to begin? Pray. And ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to guide you. It worked for Esther. She saved the Hebrew people from annihilation. It worked for Peter. And the church was birthed. And it worked for me sitting in my office with a woman in great emotional pain. And it can work for you. As baptized believers in Jesus Christ, we are promised by God that the Holy Spirit is with us, that the power of the Holy Spirit is at our fingertips, and that the Spirit will guide us, uphold us, lead us, and sustain us. We just need to utilize that power. When I was a very little girl, I would go to spend time with my grandparents out on the farm. And the one thing on the farm that fascinated me more than others was the riding lawnmower. Grandpa would always just park it up next to the house, and even by the time I was 3 or 4 years old, I would go out and I'd climb on that mower. And I'd try to move the steering wheel, and I'd pretend that I was driving all over the farm, over the hills and the pastures, and I'd make the little engine noises. But you know, I never moved an inch until I learned to turn the key. The power was there the whole time. I just didn't use it. At first, I didn't even know that I could turn it on. But then as I got a little older, then I was too scared to try. Only when I overcame that fear and actually turned the key did I get anywhere on that old mower. Friends, the power of the Spirit is right here. You just need to access it. Just turn the key. Just say the prayer. Just use the power of the Holy Spirit and tell of the ways that Jesus has changed your life. For if you won't share the good news, then who will? If you won't tell of God's love today, then when? Don't delay. God has made you for such a time as this. Thanks be to God. Amen.